So I've been sitting here scrolling through IMDb, which might as well be a time machine with its ability to take me back to my childhood, allow my mind to float in a world of like bright colors and loud sounds and oftentimes like laser noises, theme songs, excited voices, everything else imprinted my brain from a wonderful childhood of cartoon watching. So it turns out that Rob's voice kept me glued to a TV that initially you still had to get up and change a channel with a knob, and I was the youngest, so I did a lot of channel changing for my brothers, of course. Rob and his fellow voice actors of the time defined my youth and the essence of that I've never gotten away from, really. And I'm certainly not alone. I know a lot of other people who are very excited still about the entertainment we had when we were kids. So his resume includes everything from G.I. Joe to Transformers and parts on what looks like every version of animated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles I can find. Rob is the voice of Pinky from Pinky and the Brain and Yakko from Animaniacs. You can subscribe to his Nerdist podcast called Talkin' Toons, and his memoir, Voice Lessons, will be out this fall. Emmy Award-winning Peabody. Gosh, it's so many things. And now you're the voice director for last fall's Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is both visually so fun and the sound design is incredible. What a great experience that was. Rob, your IMDb is too long, I think. I couldn't get through the whole thing. It's so impressive. I want to know, how many of these shows do you actually end up watching after you record them?
Bless your heart. Well, firstly, thank you very much for that incredibly auspicious intro. I'm so famous, I don't know who I am. I don't recognize myself. We have to make it clear. A, thank you very much for taking the time to chat with me. In my gig, I'm a part of the equation, but I don't draw them and I don't write them. So while I am generally, and my peers are the ones who reap the sort of rewards of doing these characters, voicing these characters, it is an ultimately deeply collaborative effort that I'm a small part of. But thank you very much for making me sound a lot more famous than I am. You know, I think the truth is I don't watch, I would say, 80% of what I work on. And that's because I'm so grateful and fortunate to be able to say that I'm working when they air. I watched a lot more of them when I was younger because my son and I would watch them together. But you know what happens now? Down the road, I will often take time to sit down and look at something I worked on years ago because I'm getting pretty old and I've been around for 35 years and 40 years in LA. And there are shows on which I've worked that are that old. So I can sit back and go, I would have done that differently, or it was not so good, or, oh, that was pretty good. And that happened a lot in the last couple of years with Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain, because they were on Netflix a couple of years ago, having not been airing anywhere really for, I don't know, 15 years or so, and they were 20 plus years old. And I sat down one afternoon and watched six or seven of them, and it's a really good show. It was smart. It was subversive. It did not condescend to the audience. The music is remarkable and timeless. I'm very proud of, I'm proud of all the work I've done. And if I took a paycheck for it, I own it. And I'm not going to go back now and deride anything I was lucky enough to be paid to do. But certainly there are things that I think have stood the test of time better than others, and Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain and Jimmy Neutron and Ninja Turtles. Jesus, talk about an evergreen franchise. So I'm telling you, man, I have no bones about suggesting that I've won the lottery of life. I am a grateful, fortunate, happy guy for many reasons, not the least of which is talking to nice folks like you who remind me how lucky I am.
Well, when you watch these, when you go back and watch Animaniacs, do you end up getting your own voices that you created stuck in your head and then end up returning to them walking around your house doing the dishes?
Oh, man. Well, you know what's happening more and more is I'll be in a social situation or even at a Starbucks because of nice people like you, social media, the ways in which fans and actors can interact in real time. There are more and more video interviews or pieces of me singing United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, wherever. And all of a sudden it'll have a couple of million views and I could be anywhere. Somebody say, I'm sorry, but your voice sounds so familiar. Just my speaking voice. Say, oh, it's because you probably heard me on it. Wait a minute. Are you the voice acting guy? I said, yeah. Are you the guy that was Pinky? Yes, I am. Lovely. And then Katie by the door. Man, it is just a profoundly wonderful experience. Everybody gets happy. And then the word gets around. Oh, my God. You know this guy who just bought a latte? You know who that is? No, he looks like he could be my grandfather. ask him to say, hello, nurse. Hello. Oh, my God, it's Yakko. I don't even know what the guy's name is. It doesn't matter. That's the guy that was Yakko. You know what? I found out he's also Raphael. Hey, man, he's also Carl Weezer. And then it just, and it's not just me. It happens to Tom Kenny, who's SpongeBob, or Maurice LaMarche, or whatever. But what a wonderful time to live, because these characters and the fame that they've enjoyed is kind of transferred to me. And then it makes everybody happy. And so I leave a Starbucks having walked in as a customer. And when I turn around 10 minutes later and walk out, all the people working there and often a lot of the other customers want a selfie, or they say, would you say, you know, hello, nurse, to my sister, because she loves Animaniacs and she lives in Florida. And I just want to send this to her. What a blast. That happens a lot now. And it's never not fantastic.
Oh, that's so great, man. That sounds awesome. Yeah. You mentioned Kenny and the other guys. Is there a certain amount of camaraderie between you, or is there a distance that you keep between each other? How's that work?
No.
A little behind the scenes there.
No. It's very close. We're all very close friends, and that is not hyperbole. We really are. We all, you know each other's children, family, and wives, and we go to weddings and funerals of the loved ones of each other. They've all been to my house. I've been to theirs, and pretty much anyone you want to name. You know, everybody loves Mark Hamill. Yeah, he's a great guy, and he's saved the universe. He's also the Joker. And to a huge generation, to a generation and a huge number of people, and my son included, Kevin Conroy is Batman, and Mark Hamill is the Joker. You know, Mark and Mary Lou and Chelsea Hamill are several of my dearest friends, and we're all very close, and we all very supportive. It is not manufactured. It's authentic, and they've all been on my podcast more than once and are very willing to help out. But moreover, it's just a remarkable group of actors who do not depend on the way they look. They depend on their skill. And I would say, having done all aspects of showbiz and been paid for it all, I would have to say that the most talented actors, pound for pound, are pure gifted actors who are fearless, who can change on a dime, improvise, sing in character, dialects, impressions, are voice actors. And when you look at the IMDb of the people, some of whom we've mentioned, and you pick your favorite voice actor, Jim Cummings, Maurice LaMarche, Mark Hamill, Kevin Conroy, Tress MacNeille, Tara Strong, Jen Hale, Nolan North, D. Bradley Baker, just go down the list. Billy West, John DiMaggio, look at their respective IMDb's and you will find yourself going, holy crap, I had no idea that he or she was also this character. And that's the magic, as it's not limited to one character. And I think what is so profoundly flattering for people like me is when people take the time to say, holy smoke, I had no idea that the same guy that was Rude Dog or was Throttle in Biker Mice from Mars was also The Mask and was also in a show called Mighty Max. And it turns out he's also Yakko Warner. And it turns out he's also Raphael. And it turns out he's also Pinky. That's the magic. And that's what we do. So it's a lovely way to make a living.
And like you said, you keep your face kind of out of the spotlight a little bit so you can have a little more anonymity that way, I would imagine.
Unless it's the IRS, they find it.
They have a way of doing that, huh?
They do, yeah.
Now, doing the math, I'm guessing you're working with people that grew up listening to you. That's got to be a little bit of a...
As opposed to threw up listening to me. Yeah, we don't want that. But yeah, totally.
So are you seeing people now that you're mentoring rather than trying to emulate?
Yeah. Yes. In fact, a great example is our buddy Justin Roiland, who created and voices both Rick and Morty on the eponymous show. What a sweet kid. And when I started working on Rick and Morty, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, Justin, I got this gig and I got into the studio, and he's a really sweet kid. And you could tell he was, you know, a little bit, I hesitate to say starstruck, because I'm not the famous one. I'm the one who represents the character because of the voice, but I get the difference. But you could tell that he was pretty excited. And it was because he loved Pinky and the Brain and Animaniacs and all these shows, The Tick. And he was straight up. He said, I am so excited because I said to myself, when I get to produce my own show, I'm going to hire my voice acting heroes, one of whom is you. And I said, oh, my God, thank you, Justin. That's really kind. And it's never not a wonderful compliment. We never take it for granted. It's a huge, hugely flattering. So he gave me this role on the show called Snowball, of a little dog whose first lines in the show are, where are my testicles, Summer? And I thought, now you're talking. This is a pleasure. But it was an example of exactly what you're talking about. He was thrilled to be able to work with one of the actors whom he grew up listening to. And he extended the same courtesy to Maurice LaMarche and to Billy West and to Tress McNeil. And it's just a gas. So that's happening a lot. Take meetings for new shows at Netflix and Hulu and Amazon. And the executives that are 30, 35 years old, I meet them and they say, I got to tell you, I know we're here to talk about this show you're pitching, but would you please sing a little bit of United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, and they turn into 12-year-olds, and it's the most wonderful experience. So it's happening a lot, and I'm really grateful to be able to experience it.
I wish you could see my dumb face right now. I'm like waving my hand in the air, dying laughing, like without emoting so I don't cut you off. But it's
that's what it's about, my friend. That's what it's all about. The overarching takeaway is supposed to be a joyful experience, and that's what it is, man. And trust me, it is not lost on me how lucky I am to do this, man. And I want to soak it up as long as I can because, you know, at the risk of sounding hackneyed, we got plenty of stuff about which to be sad, concerned, and overwrought these days, don't we? And to have a certain aspect of our lives which are you know, kind of a respite, whether it's the middle of the day or a concert or flicking on Animaniacs or knowing that Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain are coming back with Steven Spielberg again for 2020. It's so nice to have all of those little things that are Easter eggs that brighten up your life, you know? And man, if it's about hello, nurse, then that's fine. Whatever it takes, baby.
Now, I want to give you huge props on Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The show is so fun. It's punchy, and it brings, like, the style from the pages of, like, manga, like, anime to life in this wonderfully different way. The sounds, though, are so good, and the voice cast that I assume you helped assemble is remarkable. That Ben Schwartz, man, he has me rolling. What's your role on the show, and how fun was it to create these characters and, like, a different – it's, like, still the same Ninja Turtles, but it's different.
It is. Thank you for bringing that up. As you may know, I got to be two different Ninja Turtles in my one lifetime so far. And if I live to be 100, maybe I can knock them all out. But after being Raphael on the original show when you were a little turtle, 25 years later, I got the opportunity to be another turtle on the last iteration of the show. So we did that for 5 years and 100 and something episodes. And toward the end of the run, Gene Vassilaris, the head of casting at Nickelodeon, said, "Hey, would you come into my office?" And I'd already known that the show had run its run. And I said, "Man, are you gonna fire me again? We know the show is ending." And he chuckled because, you know, actors, we're always, whenever we're called into the principal's office, we assume it's always bad news. He said, no, man, we were just thinking, you know, Tom Kenny, who's the voice of SpongeBob, is now directing SpongeBob, a voice director, and it's going really well for obvious reason. Tom knows the character, knows the show. Everybody loves Tom. And we were just thinking, the producers of the new show, which is going to be called Rise of the TMNT, a 2D show, as you suggested, we thought there really is nobody acting-wise in Hollywood who knows this franchise better than Rob Paulsen. You've been two turtles, even recently, and would you feel comfortable directing? And I said, I would love a shot at it. But make no mistake, man, I have no dog in this fight. I am utterly egoless in this pursuit. I'm a hired gun and have been, and proudly, for 30-odd years, but I'd love to try it. And man, I'm having a ball. And thank you very much for taking the time to say that, because these kids, Omar Benson Miller, who's Raphael, and Brandon Michael Smith, who's Mikey, as you mentioned, Ben Schwartz is Leo, and Josh Brenner from Silicon Valley plays Donatello, and the beautiful Kat Graham plays April. Man, what a gas of a cast. And all I got to do is sit down there and feel like a big shot and say, hey, can you do it faster? Can you do it slower? I mean, these kids are so talented. And I have learned so much, not only about that side of the glass and being a director and directing the people who already have talent. It's really literally is directing them to accomplish the vision of the producers. Not to change them, not to alter them. They're fine. It's my job to be sensitive to what they do and nuance it. And I really enjoy it. But I got to say, man, it is a blast to be able to work on something from the very beginning with casting and all of that and seeing it come to fruition. And you're right. It pops off the screen. It looks great. And one of the things as an old dog that I say all the time, especially now that we're doing ADR and post-production, is I look at these other guys and go, oh my God, you know, you're talking to a guy who's been watching TV since it was black and white with rabbit ears. So now that we see super HD blah, blah, blah with crazy, stupid, talented animators with high quality on both ends of the equation, you know, young folks are watching stuff on the screen that is so clear and so almost three-dimensional in its depth and its color and its the way it pops. I'm still looking at this with a reference from 1965, you know, where we were just amazed by color TV. Now the techniques of animation are brought to the screen in such a clear, high-fidelity way that it's mind-blowing. So thank you very much for bringing that, you know, to everyone's attention. I'm telling you guys are living in the good old days. Really. This is a great time to not only be in the entertainment business and be able to keep in touch with fans in real time, which I just love, but to be a fan, you know, to be a fan like me and watch TV with a flat screen that's as thick as a dime, and you're watching stuff that looks like it's going to reach out and grab you. Holy smokes. Don't take this for granted, folks. This is crazy stuff, and it's a blast.
Yeah, you go back and watch some of that early 80s cartooning, and the budgets probably couldn't match what is being done right now.
Oh, not even close. And my God, the budget for Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain, because of Mr. Spielberg and the huge orchestra, that was probably $500,000 an episode back then.
Wow.
So, you know, that and that was TV animation, which was not as, you know, specific and as expensive as feature animation. But nonetheless, the overarching thing for me is the way these characters continue to inspire and entertain people. And again, I'm so grateful to be a small part of it. But that is the magic of what we do, is to look back 20 years later and say, man, oh man, did Mr. Spielberg and Tom Ruger and the people who created Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain, did they ever get it right? And they continue to entertain and inspire. That's the magic.
Well, this is a perfect transition. Friday night at the Fremont Abbey, a beautiful venue.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of music performances there. It's going to be a chance for you to go see the listener, to go see Animaniacs on tour. It's called Animaniacs in Concert. Friday night. What should we expect from this? I really don't know where to put my expectations.
Well, you should put your expectations very high, because that's precisely what you should expect from people whom you go pay money to go see. And trust me, if people take that for granted, don't go see him anymore. I don't know who that might be, but just as an example, folks, you're talking to a guy who's made his living in Hollywood for 35, almost 40 years, and it is a privilege to be in this business. So if you ever run into anybody who takes it for granted and kind of is a bit of a jerk about it, don't take that from them. You're a consumer. You pay my rent. And you should put your expectations high. And I will say, you know, at the risk of sounding a little arrogant, you won't be disappointed, because we get how lucky we are to do this. Andy Rogel, who wrote pretty much most of the songs you guys remember from Animaniacs, including Yakko's World, and I were fortunate a few years ago to get a wonderful licensing deal from Warner Brothers Animation, by which we are able to take the music of Animaniacs and perform it live around the country. Like we'll be doing at Fremont Abbey this Friday. And it is a blast. This weekend we'll be there with Randy and me and a piano and a big screen by which you'll be able to watch me sing United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru in real time with the critter on the screen. And it's a blast. It's a cool parlor trick. But in the meantime, we do about 2 hours worth of songs, all your favorites from Animaniacs. And a bunch of my other critters show up. Carl Weezer will just show up from Jimmy Neutron. And, of course, Yakko and Raphael and Donatello and Pinky. And we all come around and chat and talk about how the songs were made. You'll hear songs that didn't make it to the show. If we have the time and the venue allows, we love to do a Q&A. We have so much fun. And the cool thing is you'll see people there who are 8 to 10 years old and people who are 70. It is a huge testament to the power of animation and music, and specifically this show. But that's why it's called Animaniacs in Concert, because it is literally 20-ish songs from that show and a few others that we worked on, one called Hysteria, another Warner Brothers show, that had wonderful music, and we have a blast talking about it. So, it is wonderful, and you will love it, and I guarantee you will. So there you go.
Can't wait to have you here Friday, Fremont Abbey. That is in Fremont, obviously. And it's Friday night with Rob Paulsen doing Animaniacs in Concert. Dude, thank you so much for taking the time to tell us all these awesome stories and do voices and get us all excited for it.
It really is. It is not hyperbole. I am profoundly grateful to be in a position where I even get to talk about what I do for a living, let alone make people happy. And all I have to do is say, "Narf," and I would suggest that you're probably smiling. And right? And it's the most, it's the coolest thing in the world. And I promise you, the only person who digs it more than you is me. I love this. So thank you very, very much for giving me an opportunity. And I hope to see you guys out at the Abbey, at Fremont Abbey. And Happy New Year.